thank God. So, what we'll do is I'll just share a little bit, and then we'll open it up, because we have a lot of people here, so this actually is probably going to be a pretty good workshop, because we're going to have a lot of time for open forum. I got clean on September 6th of 1986, and I have a lot of experience with complacency. It's given me, the time has given me the opportunity for that. So, I think what I'd like to talk about is combating complacency. I know complacency was a new word for me when I first came into recovery. Complacency I had no idea what that was until maybe like I had a year clean. When I was working through the steps and working on the first step, and when I first got a sponsor, you know, I found out that complacency kills, because I would not call my sponsor. And I would slack off on working the first step, you know, and the work that he gave me to do on the first step and the second step. And so I relapsed like three times within a year after getting out of treatment. So I kind of started finding out what complacency was, and that was simply not going to meetings, not calling my sponsor, not working the steps, you know. And I really didn't have a higher power yet, so that wasn't too much of a factor. But I got complacent right off the bat, and I found out that it takes me back out of these rooms. So with a new willingness, I came back after being miserable and finding a new bottom very quickly after these few relapses. And luckily they didn't last any longer than they did. So I came back in and I worked these steps really, really hard. You know, I called my sponsor every day. I went to meetings every day, you know, for 365 days the first year. And Year one just flew right by. It was just wonderful. I wasn't complacent one bit. I had my fourth step done by the time of the end of my first year, you know. So complacency, I had combated it, you know. Well, the past tense, combated complacency, you know, this is about combating complacency, because it's an ongoing thing, I found out. So what happened was, I had like two or three years, I got complacent again. And so I slacked off my meetings just a bit. I think I slowed down to like four or five a week. I still worked with the sponsor, but I changed up on my sponsors due to personality conflicts and whatnot. So I found out about a higher power during that period. I prayed to my higher power through the third step, and my relationship with my higher power got closer, you know, after my fourth and fifth step. But when I hit like I think year four or five, I began getting complacent again. I mean, I had a lot of things going on in my life, you know. Came socially. I was becoming socially acceptable, you know, and my recovery got complacent. I didn't work, you know, after doing the fourth step and all that writing, I figured I was like finished with writing for a long time, and that was my first mistake. I think to the sixth and seventh step, it took so long to do those steps. I didn't do a lot of writing on them. Some people said you had to do writing on those steps. Some people said you didn't have to do writing on the steps, you know. So I opted not to do the writing, you know, and just let it flow. But actually, it was complacency. Many people suggest that we have to write on each of our steps, you know. So, you know, getting back to the workshop here, I mean, combating complacency, I think for me is probably, it has to be a daily activity, you know, just for today. I have to ask myself, am I working my step, you know, today? Not necessarily writing on it, but am I working my step? Am I calling my sponsor? You know, have I gone to a meeting? Lately, I have not been going to a heck of a lot of meetings, and here I am. I went through a very tragic period, my father dying 2 months ago, and I went to, I was going to like one or two meetings a week, and not working closely with the sponsor, and of course, this happened with my father, and I wound up in a very bad position. My addiction will take me out any way it can. I mean, I don't have to use. So basically, I wound up in a very bad space, and I was like willing to take the easy, fast way out, which of course is, you know, the suicide thing. And so I started having a lot of those thoughts after I went into my shell for like 2 weeks and isolated. And I had to really fight my way out of there, and I had to really combat that complacency. I mean, it had entrenched itself in my life 2 months ago. And out of this event that occurred in my life, I found that it was a blessing, because I realized that my program had become so complacent that I was on the verge of using or killing myself. And so I went to meetings, and after this two-week period of isolation, yeah, I called a few people during those 2 weeks, but they said go to meetings, you know, every time I called. And so they dragged me out of my shell. And I showed up at these meetings that they told me to go to. And so I went to three meetings, and I felt like I was okay again, that I was going to be okay. And I told my sponsor last night that I have to start from the first step once again. I have to start writing on the steps. I told him I want to start from number one. Because my head tells me I should start like number six or seven, you know, and just don't start back there. And so I got to start at number one. I got to do that because our steps say that that's where number one starts, right? My head says 12, so. But my higher power has put certain people in my life that know better, and he works through them. And they help me combat complacency if I allow them to be in my life. And I have to pick up the telephone, or I have to show up to meetings and do those types of things in order to hear my higher power's message. I have to, you know, go to this convention, be willing to show up at 9 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, you know, get myself out of bed at 7:30 after being up all night, past 2 nights. And I think those are the kinds of things, the action that it takes to show the willingness. And that helps me to combat this thing called complacency. And complacency will kill us eventually. It'll kill our recovery, and it'll eventually lead to active addiction in my life. And that will kill me spiritually, mentally, or physically. So that's my experience. And I would like to open it up to anyone who'd like to share. Okay. I'm an addict. My name is Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Excuse my look. I'm running on 2 hours of sleep and about 47 cups of coffee this weekend. I'm sorry, 48. I think about the lack of sleep and running around this weekend, and complacency for me is keeping it green, because when I came into this program, I didn't come in here to get a relationship with God. I didn't come into this program to be responsible. I just basically didn't want to die. And for me, that's where complacency can set in, is when I get wrapped up in stuff that'll happen, and loss of family members, things just not going my way. And it's like, hey, I'm clean now. I deserve this. Come on, And when I first got clean, and they'd come up to me and say, "You're the most important person in this room, because you're a newcomer." And since this guy had 15, 20 years, I'd be like, "Yeah, right." But now a newcomer comes in, and it reminds me it doesn't get any better out there, and I need to always remember that, because we are in the grips of a progressive illness whose ends are always the same: jails, institutions, and death. When I came into the rooms, nobody told me the gifts that I would have today, and I wouldn't trade that for anything. But I'm also have got a very patient disease on my back, and it's just waiting for an opportunity. Although I do believe that we do recover, I believe that I will always be an addict. One of the things, these small tools to keep myself clean. I got the days I've been clean written on my calendar. 2,787, but who's counting, So, yeah, I'm obsessive. But, it's like this morning, I called down the front desk and I said, "Hey, I need to check out late because I'm at this convention." The lady goes, "Well, checkout's 11 o'clock. I said, "Yeah, I know, but there's rules for everybody else and there's rules for me." She said, "No, checkout's 11 o'clock. And I said, "Wait a second, I'm here for this convention." "Yeah, I know that. Checkout's 11 o'clock. So, I had to stand back and say, this is just addictive behavior. I didn't get clean and all of a sudden I'm this spiritual giant. I still battle this shit, And this is, again, the symptomatic of the disease being patient and just waiting for an opportunity. It's kind of like, for me, it's sort of a cycle. Working the steps the steps are progressive. And as soon as I slip and I'm not aware of practicing these principles in all my daily affairs, then it's just one step backwards. And that's where, something small, somebody cut me off in traffic, and that invisible passenger on my seat says, "That motherfucker cut you off. You know, I didn't get away with that. You bet your ass I'm not." And I'm like chasing this guy, And that's like a small example. And another example that's larger is, there are people out there, and I was at a party. This friend of mine was getting married, and I told him I would make a cameo appearance. And this guy comes up and says, "Want a beer? It's a Corona." And I'm thinking, well, crawling around the carpet at 3 a.m. was my drug of choice, not drinking Corona. So it's like, "You can have one beer, can't you?" And it's like, where the hell did that come from? And my response is, "No, not today, thanks." Because I used to I'd stand on a soapbox and say, "I'm a recovering addict and I'm going to save the world, and you're in pain, you're suffering because you want to drink a beer." And the guy'd be like, "Chill out, I just want a beer. Do you want one or not?" So I just keep my basic text in the glove box instead of my hip pocket, ready to pull it out and bonk somebody on the head with it. But the complacency in that thought is scary. After over 7 years of being clean,
you know, it just reminds me that it's out there waiting. And there's a lot of people that don't make it into these rooms. You know, the sad statistic is, look around you, only 15% of you people are going to stay clean, and that includes me. 7 years, man, I heard a story today on the beach, guy went out after 10 years, and I'm thinking, damn, that's patience. I mean, I'm trying to stay clean a day at a time, and there's a disease out there, you wait 10 years. That shit is scary. So for me, complacency is, and combating it, because I'm not going to use in a meeting. I'm not going to use if I'm hanging out with you drinking coffee. What I'm going to use is when I'm driving home from work, or I'm by myself, or I got to check out at 11 o'clock instead of 1. And I'm sitting there thinking, shit, man. Just one hit. And that's the reality of this. And that one hit is going to send me 6 feet under. And despite the gifts that I have today, that's the bottom line. I need to never forget why I came into these rooms. And I do have a lot of gifts today. A lot of them. But the bottom line is I came into this room so I didn't have to die. And I need to never forget that. And now I understand what it means when somebody says the newcomer is the most important person in all of our meetings. Because it reminds me that it doesn't get any better out there. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm good as I'm netted. Glad to be an addict and know an addict. It has provided me with the best life that I had never known, you know. In spite of tragedy and terrible, ugly transitions, you know, ultimately inside of active addiction, there's an ultimate blessing for me, you know, and that gift is just to be clean, you know, and the choices have everything to do with what the destiny ends up to be, you know. The message is hope and the promise is freedom, you know, but the destiny is not by chance. It's not like playing the lottery, it's by choice. I find that for this addict in Narcotics Anonymous, for me, everything has a process. Relapse has a process. Complacency foundates relapse. There's some things for this addict that are conducive to recovery, and there are some things that are conducive to relapse. You know, and sometimes without the actual substance taking place along with that downfall inside of that complacency, something happens, and it can at some time jar me, and I'll get on to doing what I need to do. But one of the things that helps to keep me green in combating the complacency is trying to be forever green, always trying to be vigilant, and that's not when I feel like it. You know, going to meetings is like, I don't want to go. But I get up and go anyway. I don't know where something is going to happen in what meeting, whatever it might be, that reaffirms the commitment, makes me dig a little deeper, you know, revitalize me in some way to combat that complacency. I don't know where or which meeting. There may be someone new sharing something that to me has appeared to be old that revitalizes and re-energizes and causes me to want to dig a little deeper and get a little further inside of me, because one of the greatest things that has happened in Narcotics Anonymous for this addict is the deeper I dig, the better I happen to love me. Through in that amazement alone, I become more curious, and that helps to combat the complacency, getting in spots and just, you know, feeling like I naturally can be there, feeling like I know when I'll use, and what'll make me use is, to me, complacency. You know, inside of Narcotics Anonymous, I hear often, you know, at the different conventions, people with time, substantial time, going out and using, you know. And everybody that I hear talking about those that have used, they never said that they saw it really coming just like that. You know, doesn't seem to really happen like that. I believe for me, you know, is that the thing about this disease is when I forget that it's a disease and that I make choices for it in that kind of way is when those things are really prone to happen. So I don't know, I try and stay green, and I do what I can do, you know, and feeling complacent. Sometimes I rework the steps, go back into the steps, because it's like things that I've read in Narcotics Anonymous, when I read them again, I see it differently, you know. Work a step, I work it again, I get something different out of it, because each day is a new beginning, you know, and each day that I awaken, I see things differently, you know, and it calls for some different work, you know, and if I'm in a place where I'm just not moving, it's because I need to do some more work, and not on you, but on me, you know, because each day, what kept me yesterday won't keep me necessarily today. I can stay abstinent, but I can't live and actually recover, you know, and being abstinent is kind of, for me, just existing and being complacent, you know, but recovering, and I don't recover every minute of the day. You know, there's those periods when, I mean, I'm just existing, you know, but my choice is to try and recover when I become conscious of the complacency that things are, you know, when it's like I make excuses for what I think you're not saying that's not doing something for me, you know, and you ain't really necessarily supposed to have to say it in that kind of a way to really fix me. And when I look for that like that, then I'm complacent and I don't want to do the work. You know, to lose weight, I got to do the work. You know, at some point I got to do the work. And to deal with this program, this maintenance thing on a daily basis, it takes work, you know, and more so from me. It's good to be in a room where people suffer from the same disease and the identification is there. Ultimately, the bottom line, I've still got to do some work, you can't carry me. I mean, hell, and sometimes I might want you to, you know, and then you'll get in God's way, and I'm liable to die. So don't carry me, you know. Just show me what a meeting is, and that's all I have.
Thank you. Thank you.
Morning. My name is John. I'm an addict.
Hey, John.
And it's good to be here this morning. I wasn't going to share when I got here, but it seemed like a topic that that I know more about than I wish I did. But I got clean. January 4th, 1988, and I've been in this program since that time, and frankly, I don't know why I'm here today, because certainly complacency, to my thinking, has been a major factor in, that I've, that's been present in my program. I have a sponsor that I've had for most of the time that I've been in recovery. Some would say I don't have this sponsor because I've checked with him. Looking back on it, I've probably checked with him more often quarterly as opposed to weekly, which is not what is recommended in this program. Or what you all tell me, or from what I get from the readings. I completed writing a 4-step about the time of my 8th anniversary, which is also something that I don't think would be the timetable that I would recommend to anyone, or is recommended by the people I know in this program and by our literature. He and I just started a couple months ago working a fifth step based on this fourth step that I completed 2 years ago. And I don't think that's something, a timetable or the way that it's recommended in the literature, and or the people I know in recovery, and I don't recommend this to anybody else either, because I came here to learn how to live. I didn't come here to doing things my way is what got me in here in the first place. But that's where it is. I do feel some urgency to work that fifth step with my sponsor. Right now, he's just recently begun undergoing treatment for cancer. He's got cancer of the tongue and the lymph nodes. Some of you all may know my sponsor. Lives down in Southern Maryland, and you may know what he's going through. But certainly there's some urgency for working that fifth step with him now, because neither he nor I know how that's going to turn out. He says this disease, cancer, picked the wrong person to pick on, and I like his attitude, and I think he's right. As far as complacency, though, in my recovery week after week, week in and week out, I do continue to attend X number of meetings a week. I don't, and I don't really deviate from that. That to me is part of the basics. I do read a meditation book every morning. To me, that's part of the basics. That's part of what I do. I do make a point of talking to people either during or after the meeting about what's going on with me. As far as complacency in my recovery, as far as the broader issues of spirituality, of my attitudes toward other people, of my thoughts about myself, I think there's an ebb and flow to that, and I certainly try to remember what it tells us about the preamble of our traditions, about we keep what we have away with vigilance, and I believe that today. I have to keep focused on my recovery and stay in order to try to stay in the middle of the bed with this thing. But I think it's natural that there's going to be some ebb and flow to my focus on my recovery. I think there's an ebb and flow to everything in my life. My relationship with my wife, my work performance. These are all things that have an ebb and flow to them. And the only good thing about that I can see about the ebb and flow in my acting on my recovery, on my active participation in my recovery, the only good thing that comes out of that is that when there is an ebb to it, and I recognize that, it gives me a chance to look at some things that I haven't been doing, and some things that I can maybe change around a bit, some things that I can do differently. Frankly, I get burned out on certain things. I get burned out on service at the area level. I get burned out on going to the same meetings every week. And when I do sense an ebb in my recovery, I can change those things. I can kind of change my weekly schedule around a little bit and to hit these meetings instead of those meetings. While still focusing on my weekly home group as a foundation for me. I can find other areas of service to get involved with. And also holds true for the broader issues too, as far as the spiritual focus of my recovery, as far as the relationship that I have with my wife, as far as how I try to apply spiritual principles to doing my job. I have a chance to reassess those things and then go back in there actively and act on those things in a different, new way. I think I get complacency confused with contentment. It's okay with me to be content if I'm doing what I should be doing today, day after day. I can't be like Patton trying to take Berlin, you know. It's like, you know, it's a matter of like, you know, trying to, you know, do what I should be doing today and be in the right place physically and mentally and spiritually. And if I'm doing that, then I'm not being complacent. And I can be content with that. Thanks for letting me share.
Okay, just a reminder for the remaining people who would like to share. This is supposed to end at 10 a.m. because the spiritual breakfast begins at 10 a.m. So that means we have to do the just for today in about 7 minutes.
Okay, I'll make this quick. My name is Bob, I'm an addict. I just want to bring my perspective on complacency from my own experience. And I'm one of the guys that relapsed. And I had 12 years. And I'll tell you what happened, and real brief, is, you know, I had arrived. I mean, you know, when I came to the fellowship, and I mean, I went to meetings every day, and I got active, and I did all those things. Got into the steps, worked them to the best of my ability, all that good stuff. There came a time in my life where I start justifying and rationalizing my life again. In other words, you know, everything I did because this is God's will. You know, I mean, I've got an education, I've got two kids, I'm a new father, I'm a new husband, I need to be home with my family, I got to do this, I got to do that. All the reasons for me to take a step back from what worked in my life. You see, because I had the answers again. You know, I didn't have to go ahead and do the work anymore. And little by little, you know, this disease will get you, man, and it chipped away, it chipped away, it chipped away. And at the end of it, I was going to a meeting a week, my home group, maybe two. You know, I wasn't praying. You know, I was a Sunday school teacher now. You see, I could pray for you, but hey, I couldn't pray for me. I wasn't asking God to help me stay clean for the day. You know, and I'll tell you what that's all about in my life. It was all about pride and ego. You talk about what complacency is, but let's go behind that and let's see why I was complacent. You see, my pride and my ego, when I had the problems, would not allow me to go to my sponsor. You see, wouldn't allow me to talk about the stuff. You know, and if you didn't ever heard the three-letter word E-G-O, ego is easing God out. In other words, you see, I didn't have to have God in my life and the people in my life that God was working through. You see, the disease, you know, made me push people away again. All that old crap came back and I didn't see it. You couldn't tell me that. And when I start having pain in my neck, and it was real physical pain, folks. I mean, it was unbearable pain. Unbearable. When I went to Johns Hopkins and St. Joseph's Hospital in Baltimore, you know, and they did the test and they said, yes, Bob, you have a condition. You know, they did a couple of procedures on me and, you know, and hey, I'm an addict. I can't use drugs. I did the TENS unit, the physical therapy, the chiropractic. I did it all. You know, I knew it was dangerous for me to do the drugs. But, you know, when all else failed and they put the drug in my hand, I did the drug. And I went on a 2.5-year run with it. And I'm here to tell you, folks, you could not tell me I was in active addiction. You know, I was okay because I got this prescription drug. The doctor said it was okay. But, you know, I was abusing it. And my abuse of those drugs, and that pride and that ego would not allow me. I had all this clean time, folks. I mean, hey, I could tell you that, you know, that I was now in active addiction. My disease told me I didn't have one. Told me I didn't have a disease. And I went back out there. The last 3 months of it was, you know, doing that heroin and coke blast. You know, when I put the needle on my arm, hey, couldn't lie about it anymore. But I guess the good news is for me, this is a good topic for me, because when I was in, I went to inpatient therapy, inpatient for 19 days, and I went to 2.5 months of outpatient therapy twice a week. Complacency was my number one reasons why I'm here today. You say, I got 7.5 months, I'm alive. You know, this is, if I don't have... This is one day at a time. I could espouse to everybody about the need to go to meetings, pray, you know, help that other person. Don't pick up. I could espouse it very well. I could talk that talk, but I couldn't walk the walk. You know, and I don't care how much time you got, if you ain't walking that walk, if you ain't doing what you're telling people they got to do, you're in trouble. You know, if you tell people, newcomer, they got to go to meetings every day and you ain't, you're lying to yourself. Because my disease, the biggest thing about my disease is it allowed me to lie to me and justify and rationalize my life, man. And it created pain. Guess what, folks? 7.5 months. Where is the pain? Where is this condition? You see, it was the disease and me not working it and being in recovery that created physical pain strong enough to take me back out there and almost die. Thanks for letting me share.
Hi, I'm Flint. I'm an addict. I'm here because of complacency, too. You know, I got up early this morning to come to a meeting on Sunday morning, and my life is not about getting up at 9 o'clock anymore. Today my life is about getting up at 8:30 on Sunday morning, because I go to a meeting at 10:30 a.m. downtown from where I live. It takes me an hour to get my button gear and get going. I came here because I couldn't find my buddies. I drove by myself to get here and make myself come to a convention, because my complacency in my life says, get your ass to a place where there's 5,000 other addicts that need to stay clean and that you can go to and be with and spend that time learning how to keep staying clean for the next 5 years. You know? I love to be here. And I hate being an addict. I'd love to be a person like some of my friends who just use. You know? But I'm an addict. I go to NA. You know, I'm an addict. I have friends who are in NA. You know, I meet people that are really crazy in these rooms. And I meet some people that are centered. Some of them have a little bit of time. Some of them have a lot of time. I'm both ends of the program. You know, but for me, I have a sponsor. I talk to him as much as I can. Because there's this guy wearing a big A out in the parking lot who says he's an addict. That's the other part of me doing those push-ups while I'm in here talking to you. And I don't have the time to be complacent. I came to a convention and I was lucky enough to come to a meeting early in the morning about complacency. I was lucky enough yesterday to go to a meeting about what we do now, you know, how we stay responsive in our program. You know, there's STEP meetings here and there's IDEA meetings here. And I'm fortunate enough to come to a place that I didn't know what I was going to do when I got here. I was hoping I wouldn't be bored and I wouldn't find nothing to do. And I drove here at 2 o'clock in the morning from where I live to be here for that meeting in the sand with the wind blowing. And I'm wearing shorts because my car was comfortable in shorts. But that beach with the wind blowing Friday morning, you know, at 6:30 in the morning. Hey, it was a beautiful sunrise, you know. And I'm sitting there going, the addict in me is going, hey, I want this person out here to talk into the mic so I can hear him, you know. That addict in me says when I'm at a meeting and I see somebody with that thing hanging around their neck, I don't want to be that kid part of me that had me going out and using, because I want to pull that thing and watch it. I go, oh! You know? I see a buddy of mine, he's wearing a hat backwards, and I want to pop it forward because I need to be in that meeting. You know? And I am really glad that there's a program. I wish there was a 12-step program. If I was a user, I'd have to go to a 12-step program for using too much ketchup on my french fries. You know? But fortunately, there's an NA program that helps me deal with the problem that I have. The problem that I have is I like to use when I was a young kid. I like to use when I was a big kid. Well, I'm a bigger kid, and, you know, there's that still that thought every once in a while. You know? But I don't have time in my life because I got a life. I came here to get a life. And I used this program for a number of years to find a life inside NA and a life outside of NA. And in some places, I get to mingle that. And I'm really fortunate that I have people that are understanding in my life. Unfortunately, I have a corporation that doesn't even want to know that I'm here. You know? But that's life. You know? And I don't use over that. I accept it. That was one of the first things I learned. When I worked the first step, it wasn't just for me. It wasn't just about accepting that I was an addict. Because as soon as I accepted I was an addict, my sponsor said, now find some other things to accept. So I went to places with friends of mine, and when I wanted to sit down at a house I lived in early in recovery, this guy would turn on ESPN Sunday morning at 7 a.m. Now, I wanted to watch other things. But every morning at 7 a.m., this guy blasted car races. I was out of my mind. You know? I mean, I could listen to anything, but I did not have to hear, Arr! And that was the opening spiel to my life for like 7 months. And this guy raced horses. I couldn't figure it out. It's okay. The horse races came on at 11 a.m. It was really particularly, really obnoxious. And before I do that, I want to tell you thank you, because I am just so glad to be here and share this experience with all of you. And I've gained so much and met some new people from all over the country again. You know? And as I get up in time and think I don't need to be in a convention, I get to a convention and find out this is one of the places I need to be. Thanks for letting me share.
Just for today, please.
Hi, my name is Margaret, and I'm an addict. Just for today. Tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective for my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new association, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.
Right.
Thank you.